The passage this morning is Colossians 3, page 1118 in the Pew Bibles. I'm starting reading at verse 1 of Colossians 3, and it's entitled, Living as Those Made Alive in Christ. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your things on hearts above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
Hi, good morning. Hello. Everybody okay? Did everyone have a good Easter break? Yes? No? Yes? Okay, good. Good. My name is Michael, and I'm a member of Hartford Baptist Church. If you've not been here before, welcome. Glad you're here. I love sports. You guys like sports? You like playing sports? Good. I'm a fan. I grew up playing sports. My first sport was baseball. There's not a lot of baseball happening in the UK, by the way, but we need to fix that. I'm working on it. But I grew up playing baseball, and I can remember going to the baseball field with my dad. My dad absolutely loved baseball, and my older brother was a phenomenal baseball player. And my dad would always say, Michael, whatever you do, give it your best. It doesn't matter if you win or if you lose. You just, at the end of the game, you need to be able to say, I gave it my best. And I can remember, 6 years old, not much older than my son now, MB, playing baseball and losing our first game. And I'm just crying. I'm coming home, oh, we lost, it's terrible. You're six. It's just the end of your world, right? And my dad just stopped me and he said, Michael, did you give your best? Did you do the very best that you could do? I said, yeah, I did, but they didn't. Not the right perspective, by the way. But so when I moved to Hartford, I wanted to play sport. I was excited. I thought, man, let's play something. And I heard that Hartford Baptist Church had a football team called the Dippers. Do you guys remember the Dippers? I know you do, Ian, because I remember playing with you, and you were out there too, weren't you? We were out there playing some football. It was good stuff. We need to do some dipping again. We need to do that again. So I can remember, and I showed up, and it was Les Hatfield, who was in charge of the team, and Kevin Jewell. And I said, "Can I play?" And they're like, "You know, this is football, Michael, not American football. This is like, you know, you kick it." I was like, "Yeah, I got that. I understand this." They thought I was going to tackle people and throw them on the floor, you know. I wanted to, but I didn't. So I said, "Sure, I got that. I actually played soccer for a few years when I was in America. So I had some preparation before I got here." So I'll never forget the first game. I'm all excited. This is 2000. This is a little while ago. And I get all kitted out, and I'm there at the game, and I'm warming up with everybody, and then I'm waiting, and I keep looking at Les, like, you know, "I'm over here." And I don't play 1 second of the first game. Nothing. And Les just finally at the end of the game is like, "Michael, sorry about that. It was a close game, and, you know, we'll get you in the next game." I was like, "Okay, buddy." So next Saturday, I'm back there, and I'm all excited, and I'm just standing there for 90 minutes freezing because for some reason we've decided to play football in the winter. I don't understand that when it's the coldest time of the year, but that's when we want to wear shorts and play outside. So anyway, I'm standing there freezing, you know, for 90 minutes. I don't play a second of game two either. And I'm like, "Okay, Les, I am able to kick a ball. Please, give me a chance." So third game, finally, we're getting killed. We're losing like 7-0 because we weren't that good, were we? And so finally, there's like 10 minutes to go in the game, and Les finally says, "All right, Michael, get warmed up. You're coming in." I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to show what I got." And I didn't kill anybody, so that was good. And I actually kicked the ball a couple times, and over the course of the next 3 years, I think I scored one goal. So that was pretty good. Yeah, thank you. But I can tell you this, I promise, that I gave it my all. And I think anybody who played on the team with me would say when Michael was on the pitch that he played as hard as he could possibly play. Because that's the way my dad had taught me, that when you do something, you do it as good as you can. So after that, Les decided to retire the team. So I took over the team as the manager, the worst player on the pitch, without a doubt, I promise, became the manager of the team. Here's a picture of our team. And there I am, so I can prove to you. And there I am with a bandana on my head on the far right. You can see me. There I am. And we loved to play football, and we gave it our all. We were definitely the worst team in the league. We always lost, but that's okay. We gave it our all. Thanks. Thanks for that. Take it away. There we go. All right. So, now when I was growing up as a kid and when I became a Christian, guess what I found out? I found out that just like in sports, that God wanted us to give Him our very best. It wasn't just playing sports or going to work or whatever else we'll do it. That God Himself, in our relationship with Him, desires that we give Him our very best. Did you guys know that? That God wants us to do our very best. When He set up the structure in the very beginning with His chosen people, the Jews, they were to come and give a sacrifice to God. And God was very specific to the Jewish people. He said, "When you show up with your sacrifices of your animals that you're going to sacrifice, I don't want them to be the old ones, the ones that you're ready to get rid of. I don't want them to have any blemishes on them. The animals that you are to sacrifice to me," this is what God is telling His people, "are to be your very best. They are to have no blemishes. They are to be as perfect as they can be because I, God, your God, am perfect." And so they showed up and they would take their firstborn male animal, typically, and that's the animal they would bring to God to sacrifice because God required their very best. When they were to tithe, when they were to give 10% of their crops to God, because back then, you know, most of them were farmers, so what they were tithing was barley or wheat or honey or wine that they had made. And God required not some of their wine or, you know, the last bits. God said, "When you give me your tithe, it is to be the choicest portion. It is to be the very best portion you've got. From the beginning of our relationship with God, He has desired our very best. And somebody would say to me, well, why is that? And my response is, well, why wouldn't we give God our very best? Has not God given us His very best? Is He not God? Does He not deserve our very best? I love the example of the queen and serving the queen. I even had a picture in my mind. What if you got a letter from the queen tomorrow in the post saying, Michael, I would like to come have a meal with you. Can you imagine? That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? The queen's coming. I think we might vacuum a little bit. I think we might clean up. Can you imagine? The queen's coming, and you say this to your wife, or your husband, your spouse, and say, hey, the queen's coming. What should we do? I don't know. You know, let's see what's in the fridge. See if we got any leftovers. We had some sausages and mash last night. See if there's any sausages left. We'll just pop a couple of those on a plate. I'm sure that'll be fine. Is that what you would do? Is that what any of us would do if the queen was coming for dinner? I think we would clean up. I think we'd get out our best china, silver, if we had some silver. I think we would figure out the very best Jamie Oliver meal that we could possibly make in the world. And we would do the best we could do. Because the queen's coming, right? That's the expectation. Why would we not do that same thing for the creator of the universe? Well, of course we would. God expects our best because He's God. But He also expects us to give back, to say thank you, right? Everything we have comes from God, right? So when we give our tithes back, when we give our sacrifices back, we're only giving back to God what He gave to us in the first place anyway, right? Well, that's the Old Testament, but then in the New Testament, we hear the same thing. In Matthew chapter 22, someone comes up to Jesus to test Him, and they say, Jesus, what is the most important commandment of all? I mean, what is like the top thing that you need to do? And Jesus replies simply, really, really easy one, by the way, really simple. You are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your strength and all of your soul and all of your mind. Think about that for a second. Talk about giving your very best. God has called us to love Him, to adore Him, to worship Him with all of our heart. I love the fact that He uses all, because it leaves nothing out. And I love the fact that He talks about your heart and your soul and your strength and your mind, because Matthew is trying to convey, and Jesus is trying to convey, nothing is left out. You're to love God, you are to love God with everything that you are. Everything that you think, everything that you do, everything, every part of your being, you're to love God. You are to give Him your best. 1 Corinthians, I love this verse. I think it says it really well. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says it like this. 31, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, I love that, whatever you do, you are to do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, I love that. Whether you eat or drink or whatever. And really what we need to understand is by giving glory to God, what that means is we're giving the attention, the accolades, and the honor to God in whatever we do. That's giving our best. Now, whatever we do isn't just going to work, is it? Whatever we do isn't just coming to church, is it? Whatever we do is when we're washing the dishes, we are to glorify God. When we are hanging out with our kids, that's a chance to give God glory, isn't it? It's whatever we do. I love the fact that whatever we do is encompassed in our ability and chance to give God glory. Now, I just had a great Easter break. I took some time off. And giving my best to God meant, are you ready? This is great. I love it. It meant watching movies with my kids and going on bike rides and geocaches and playing hours and hours of Lego Harry Potter on the Wii. was giving my best to God. Because I was loving my kids and spending time with them and making sure they understood that they are a priority. I was also resting. You see, we can get a wrong picture of what does it mean to give our best to God. We can have this picture in our brain that it means we have to always be working hard. And we never stop. And for those who struggle with being a workaholic, that's not what it means to give your best to God. Not when it comes at the detriment of your family or your spouse. It means that you need to rest. Did you know that early days, God set it up that we would take a Sabbath as a reminder that it's not up to us to fix everything. That it's God's job to do that. That we're to rest our bodies. When you sleep properly, you're doing your best for God. When you love your family, you're doing your best for God. When you take care of yourself physically, you're doing your best for God. It's not about being perfect. It's not about that your house is always perfect. I promise you, my house is not always looks perfect. Over Easter, it was a complete tip, and it was awesome. It was awesome. Then we cleaned it up. But for 2 weeks, it was just like, we didn't care. Just leave your stuff everywhere because we're hanging out as a family and we're having fun and we're making forts. And we're, you know, you ever build a fort in your house? I don't care how old you are. You should next weekend build a fort. It's fun. Climb through stuff. Doing your best for God is having a house full of joy, isn't it? It's a place that you love to be. It's having the fruit of the Spirit bubble up inside of you and having a great time with the people that you love. So I had three things that I wrote down, three simple things that I hope we can remember that I think will help us to give our best to God. Now, I'm just going to say these. If you want to try to remember them with me, great. But here they are. The first one is this. If we want to give our best to God, we need to focus on the things that are good and excellent. Philippians chapter 4 tells us to focus on the things of this world that are good and that are excellent and focus our lives on doing those things. It means figuring out what it is that you're gifted to do, that you're passionate about doing, and focusing your energy on doing that. You see, life can get really busy. You guys ever get really busy? And you're thinking, I'm not quite sure. And if, when you get tired, by the way, and you have too many things to do, you stop giving your best in certain arenas of life, don't you? Maybe you stop hanging out with your family. They don't have as much of your time because you're so consumed with your job and making sure you're doing good at that. And all of a sudden, you've lost your ability to give your best at everything. It's because we get stretched way too thin and we need to focus. On the 17th of July, do you know what starts in London on the 17th of July? Anybody know? At the Royal Albert Hall? The proms! The proms are awesome. Anybody been to the proms? If you've never been to the proms, you need to go. The first year I moved here, we were taken to the proms because it was American night. Yeah. And it was awesome. It was amazing. I read this. There's a guy named Malcolm Gladwell who wrote a book called Outliers. And he said, if you want to become as proficient and excellent a musician as the people playing in the proms, do you know how many hours you have to practice? 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours. If you want to be able to play like the people who play at the proms. Do you know why that we go in here and Royal Albert Hall will be filled up all summer long with people? Because these guys have focused their time and their energy to become excellent at this one instrument. And they're incredible, aren't they? And when we go hear them play together, it's amazing. It's life-changing. Music going deep into our soul. My boss, when I worked at a church in Atlanta, his name is Andy. And Andy is an amazing communicator. He started speaking at things when he was 18 years old. Andy now is the pastor of what is the largest church in America. For Easter, they had 72,000 people come to his church. That's three entire towns of Hartford going to church. 72,000. You know what Andy does? Still to this day, he's 57 years old. He's been preaching since he was 18. So almost 40 years, 30 years. I can't add. It's whatever the math is. Long time, right? This is what he does every Sunday morning, still to this day. He will get up, having prepared his talk, and he will give it to thousands of people. And then during the break, between that service and the next service, they will hand him a copy of his talk on a CD. And he will go out into the parking lot, he will put it in his car, and he will drive around, and he will listen to that talk. And he will improve upon it. He will figure out the things that he didn't like and the things he did and make sure he does them again. So he comes back in to give the talk again. 30 years he's been doing that. Why? Because he wants to give his very best so that people can meet Jesus. I think that's profound. I think that's amazing. And it's why there's 72,000 people coming to church. Part of the reason. Because everybody there has the same mentality. We are going to do our very best for God. When they show up to do their music, they have practiced like crazy because they want to honor God. They want people to know this is important. This is valuable. So if we want to do our best for God, we need to look at our own gifts, our own abilities, and we go, what is it that God has made me to do? Maybe you're a teacher. Well, be the best teacher you can be. Maybe you're an IT. Maybe you're a, you know, whatever it is, an accountant, a plumber. Maybe you're retired and you just want to be the best retiree you could ever be. Great. Be the best, whatever it is that God's made you to do. Focus on that and be the best at that. The second one is this. This is a glass of water, right? Is this okay if I drink this? Is this for me? Thank you. Okay, is that half full or half empty? John, both. No, it's not both, John. It's one or the other. Is it half full or half empty? It's half full, people! The second thing is having the right perspective on life. So we can have a perspective that everything's half empty. And oh, woe is me, and I didn't get that job, and I don't have any gifts, and my life has been terrible. And guess what? If that's your focus, you're never going to give your best. You probably give your worst. But if our focus is to have a grateful heart, it's to be incredibly grateful for whatever it is that God's given us, because we all have different things that God has given us, different abilities, different paths, different lives, is to each day wake up and go, thank you, God, that I get another day. I'm incredibly grateful that I get to hang out with you. It's not about competing with others. Giving your best to the glory of God is not about being better than anybody else. It's not about competition. It's not about comparing yourself with anybody else. It's about saying to the Lord, thank you for what you've given me. I was talking to Andy King one Sunday after I'd spoken. And whenever you finish speaking, you're always hoping somebody comes up and says, hey, good job. Then you feel better. Thanks. And I was talking to him and he said, yeah, Caleb came in and heard the talk. He thought you did a good job. And I was like, thanks. And then he goes on to say, you know, Caleb's favorite preacher is Dawood. I was like, I'm sorry, what? I'm the youth guy. Dawood does pensions. What are you talking about? His favorite. And I caught myself right in the middle of that little bit of comparison, that little bit of jealousy. That's not going to get you down the road you want to go, comparing yourself to others. It's having the thankful heart to go, God, you put me here. You know what you're doing with me. You've got my life in your hands. I'm so grateful to you. And saying thank you. It's all about attitude. And then finally, the third one is if we want to give our best to God, we need to remember that God's the boss. That verse that we read earlier from Colossians 3:23, work, give all of your heart as unto the Lord, not unto men, is what it said. You see, you may go to a job tomorrow that you're not excited about. because of your boss. But you're not working for your boss. You're working for God. He's our boss. He's our leader. And he's a great leader. Our focus needs to be, instead of trying to please people, is to please God. We'll give our best for God when he's the one that we most want to please. You guys have heard of Eric Little, Scottish runner. Ran in the 1924 Paris Olympics. Everybody heard of that? Chariots of Fire, right? Why have we heard of Eric Little? Here's the only reason we've heard of him. It's not because he won a gold medal. Loads of people have won gold medals over the years, right? It's not because he's Scottish. Because there's been at least one other Scottish person who's won a medal, right? At least one. Right, John? A few. Yeah, they do sports in Scotland, too. They're good. And it's not because of that. It's because Eric, the race that he was supposed to run, that everybody knew if he run it, he ran it, he would win the gold medal. He said, no, I'm not going to run that race. Why? Because it was on the Sabbath. And it didn't matter what they said to Eric. Didn't matter how much pressure they were going to put on him. He wasn't going to race, was he? You know why? Because he cared more about what God thought than anybody else in the world thought. He was a God pleaser, not a man pleaser, not a woman pleaser. And because of that, we are still talking about Eric Little almost 100 years later. People around the world know his name, and they give glory to God because he wanted to please God first. If we want to give our best to God, we need to focus our energies on what we've been made to do. We need to do it with the right attitude, with a grateful heart that says, God, whatever you want is what I want. And we need to remember that we are operating with an audience of one. Shakespeare says all the world is a stage and we're merely players, the men and the women, right? Well, I would add to that, and there's only one person in the audience, and that's God. And he's who we're doing our stuff for. Do you want to give your best for God? Do you want to bring glory to the one who made you and loves you? Because at the end of the day, what we need to remember is he gave his best for us. He sent his son Jesus, his son, to come and to live and to die for us so that we could know and love him. Why would we ever want to do anything less? Let's pray. Thanks, God, for today. Thank you that you remind us that we want to give our best because you gave your best. Because we want to honor you. We want people to know that we love you. We want people to come to know you because of our devotion and our love for you. God, I don't know what that looks like in everybody's life. And each person here will need to figure out what does it mean to give their best. But we do know that what we want to do each day is to please you. Is that at the end of the day, at the end of our time, that you would look at us and you would say, well done, faithful servant. That you would be proud of us. Lord Jesus, help us to give our very best for you every day in everything we do.